Well, a little surprise plot twist. We're not going to jump straight into the Word. I am going to get Chinoah and Katie up here in just a moment, but I get to share with you a little bit of the backstory. For those of you who don't know much about Central Alberta Youth Unlimited, Youth for Christ, this will be informational for you. Some of you know a whole lot about us and have been journeying with us for a long time. And especially, there's actually three here that were a part of this ministry in the very early days before I even was in some capacity. So there was a small board that formed to start Youth for Christ in 2002, around 2002, and Jim Sandine and Stephen Marwa and Sheila Pateman were involved in those early days. I don't know exact timelines on that, but they were pivotal in the launching of Youth for Christ here in Pinoca. And then I started in 2002, and we had a number of different people serving throughout the years. You might be surprised to know this too. In fact, Haley Broshu was one of our youth engaged staff. She was in the high school with me, talking to kids and running programs. So a little surprise before she was famous for making design work and t-shirts and cups and all hats and those things, she was working with youth. But God's been leading and directing this organization over the years in a number of different capacities, and it's all His. And I often am surprised and humbled to see what He's doing with it. Our passion over these years is pretty consistent. We desire that every young person is going to know Jesus. We want them to live fully in Christ. We want them to follow Him. We want them to be disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And I never would have imagined that I would be involved in youth ministry many years ago. God's call in my life came out of the blue, but looking at it now, it's become just an unyielding passion for me. I'm very, very committed to the ministry of helping youth experience a relationship with Jesus. And now I can't imagine, you know, if God had called me into some other area of service. But at the time, I was completely shocked and didn't see it coming. Our mission at Central Alberta Youth Unlimited, Youth for Christ, is this. We exist to bring the hope of Jesus to youth, facilitating wholeness through mentoring relationships. And our vision is hope and wholeness for all youth. I love that we get to do that. I love that that's what we're about. And it gives me some great passion to wake up to in the morning. I don't know what gets you excited when you get up in the morning. I don't know what convictions you feel, but I suspect you know what it's like when you long for something so deeply. And that's our collective desire at Youth Unlimited, that the youth of Central Alberta would experience the hope and wholeness that comes from knowing Jesus. Now, as I was preparing some notes on this, I opened up a file from many years ago, September 9th of 2018, we had a Youth Unlimited Sunday here, and I had the opportunity to share about the ministry, and I was caught by some of the details in there. At that time, we were in six different communities with 23 staff all around Central Alberta, and two of those staff were right here in Pinoca. And God's hand has been on the ministry over these years, as now we're in nine communities, just launching into Innisfail right now as we speak. That's our newest community. We're pretty excited about that. And we have 56 staff serving in their different ministry settings all over Central Alberta. And that's only by God's hand and provision. More specifically, the Pinoca team. There's a name on there that might sound surprising to you. You might not realize this because it's hot off the presses, so to speak. But Alexi Peters was hired this week to join the team at Central Alberta Youth Unlimited doing youth engagement right here in Pinoca. So we're very excited to have her on our team. And and looking forward to what God's going to do in her life. So that's the newest addition. Katie Peters, you know, she's been here doing young families for a long time. Casey Badgema, she is also part of our ministry here. In fact, she heads up the youth ministry side of things here. And then Chinoah, who spends most of her time in the central services role, which you're going to hear a little bit more about in a minute, but she's our personnel director and prayer coordinator and many other little things as well. And so that's the bulk of the Pinoca team, and then myself as the executive director, and then supplemented here and there by the Muscogee team, so they do different programs, so help out in school and help out at Timber in different ways, and then our Timber staff team. So that's the local front. And across Central Alberta, there are a number of different programs that we're operating. We have counseling and housing for youth, and we have missions trips, and we're in schools, and we have a number of youth centers and coffee shops and young family programs, and we do mentorship and discipleship and all of those different things as God leads and directs around the organization. But right here in Pinoca, just want to highlight a couple of things. So we do youth engagement in schools, kind of getting that back up and going. As I stepped into the executive director role, there was a bit of a pocket where we weren't actively involved in the schools. That's just been renewed over these last couple of years, few years, and building that up. And then we do Life 360, which we'll talk about again in a moment. And then after school program for girls, and we do family engagement with Katie doing the Young Families program. That happens right here, and she'll highlight that as well. But grateful for this church and the space you offer. We know it actually overwhelms the space in some ways on a Thursday morning, and that's pretty special that you open it up for that. And then in Pinoca, we also have a counseling program that takes place in the basement of Timber Coffee. We have Timber Coffee Co. And then we offer mentorship and discipleship. But really specifically, our partnership with FBC Pinoca, there's a few things I wanted to highlight. Life 360, this church has offered meals and a space and volunteers for just over 10 years now. This is literally our 11th year of running Life 360 here in this church, and that's pretty special and really significant. And you've offered that Young Families programming space. You've offered prayer support. I think this is probably the largest sending church to our fundraising banquet. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. I'm pretty sure that no church sends so many people to attend our fundraising banquet as this group. And then you've made the three of us as partners in missions, which is just an incredible blessing. It's a financial support, but it goes deeper than that, and we're grateful for that. But I want to just talk about Life 360 for a moment. And I really love this program. I didn't get to be a part of it last year serving at it, but I do this year. And I just want to acknowledge, I get asked a lot of times if I know what 360 degrees is. Because I think for some people, they're like, well, Jarrell, if you start like this and then you turn around, that's 180. But if you keep turning and you come back here, that's 360 degrees. And I'm like, yes, I know that. And the mindset is that they think, and I don't know which microphone I'm on here now. I think, I'm not sure if it's just this one. It changes when I come up here. But the mindset is that if we're going to do ministry and we're going to turn 180 degrees, that would be repentance. And I do understand that. And I love the name of Youth 180. It started years ago on the premise of like turning to Jesus, surrendering your life, repenting. And I love that name. And it's not that that's a problem, but I do want to say that we chose 360 because it's about 360 degrees of your life. What are you taking into your life, and how are you living that out, and what does that look like? And so, I do know what 360 degrees is, and for us, it's meant to be a launch pad, and it's meant to be a place where you discover what Jesus has for your life, and then you learn how that affects the people around you and how it affects your choices and how it affects the way you live. Now, over the years, an incredible number of volunteers from this church have stepped up to volunteer at Life 360. You've made meals, you've led small groups, you've been grandparents to kids, you have challenged, shaped, shepherded youth, and that is a really big deal. We even had one very special volunteer serve in her 70s, so for those of you who aren't sure if it's a good fit for you, you might not have any excuses. But I do want to say, boiled down, we are just very thankful. We really appreciate you as a church for the way that you've invested in the lives of young people and made this possible. It's an incredible partnership, and I know that it comes at a price of time and it comes at a cost of space and finances to partner with this program. And you have brought much to the partnership. Youth Unlimited has sought to be a good partner as well. We've provided staff for the last 10 years who've operated this program. And we also raise support for program expenses and organize the details of the event every week. This year, Katie and I get to be a part of the Life 360 program. And Katie's making the meal. And I get to be a small group leader and the games leader, which is a ton of fun. And just so you know, this past week, we had 41 youth come into the building and be a part of the program, which is pretty incredible. We were pretty overwhelmed because we were missing a couple of our key volunteers, and so it was a fun and engaging and wild night. But it's pretty special, and
Some of those youth go to different churches, and for some of them, walking in here is the closest to coming to church as they have been in years. And so it's a pretty big deal that we partner together, and your support makes it possible. This is mission teamwork, engaging together. And so I just want to express our gratitude to the missions committee for many years of faithfully partnering with us. We've been blessed by the way you check in, the way you advocate for us, the way you pray for us, and the way as a church that you have collectively partnered with us financially and in so many other ways. Now, I want to invite Shanoa to come and to share a little bit.
Good morning, church family. I just want to reiterate what Terrell said. Very humble in our gratitude of how supportive this church is of all that we are doing. So thank you. I am the personnel director, prayer coordinator for Youth Unlimited. I love what I get to do. I love that I love what I get to do as well. When some people think about personnel in HR, they think about conflict management, but that is not actually the primary aspect of my role. If I had to sum up my role in one sentence, it would be recruiting and developing a healthy, resilient, Christ-centered staff team. One of our staff has said that I bring a steadiness and calmness into the work environment, not just through my administrative abilities, but also in the deep care and support I offer to our staff. As some of you may know, writing has been a part of my soul since I was a teenager, but a few years ago, God began reshaping it, not just as a hobby, but as a sacred way to connect with Him and to help others do the same. When I discovered my passion for writing when I was 15, I used it to channel some heavy, dark, and negative emotions that I was experiencing. When I became a Christian, I didn't think that I would be able to weave my writing into this new life I was living. I didn't think God's light could shine within my words and my emotions. But something beautiful has been unfolding. My love for writing and my calling as a local missionary have been colliding. As some of you may know, I just recently wrote my first prayer book. Thank you for everybody who bought it. I pray it's a blessing to you. God has shown me how to use this passion and gift He has given me as a way to advocate for my ministry and to connect with our staff team and faith community. In the same way that I pour my heart out into my writings, I pour my heart out to support and care for our staff. Whether it's holding space for staff who are in a dark season of life or ministry, arranging prayer nights in our different communities, attentively and respectfully listening to testimonies as I vet new staff, or bringing a lightheartedness into the room, my deepest desire is that I am a walking expression of the love of Christ. And I would love to share a little piece of my heart with you, a devotional I wrote that was inspired by my daughter. My prayer is for our Youth Unlimited staff to experience childlike wonder and confidence in the love Christ has for them, and to watch that translate into their ministry callings. This is the focus of my ministry as a personnel director and prayer coordinator. Have you ever watched a young child strut into church on Sunday morning wearing an orange blouse, a green skirt, and pink rubber boots? Their head is held high, they are smiling from ear to ear, and just waiting to graciously accept all the compliments they are sure they're going to get, because they got to pick out their outfit, and they know they look good. I love watching small children expressing themselves when they have been given the full freedom to do so. You want to see confidence? Just watch them. Whether it's in how they adorn their little selves with mismatched clothes or the 15 bows and 2 headbands they put in their hair, or the way their tiny hands operate tools they are using to try and fix what is broken. It is a beautiful thing to watch. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it." When did we lose that confidence, that boldness? When do we start second-guessing our worth and our ability? God's word is saturated with expressions of His love for us. You do not have to look hard to find it. You don't have to search hard to feel it. Ephesians 3:19 says, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Matthew 10:29-31 states, "Not even a sparrow worth only half a penny can fall to the ground without the Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows." We must build our lives on these truths. We must remind ourselves each day of who we are in Christ, who he is in us, and who we are to him. The world can bring us down. It is difficult to navigate, and it often chips away at our innocence, our ability to completely surrender, our ability to trust the Lord, our ability to fall in love with him as completely and extravagantly as he is in love with us. We must take on the attitude of a child who does not know better than to have the complete confidence in who they are, where they are going, and what they are doing. As parents lovingly guide their little ones, our Heavenly Father will guide us as well. We don't need to fret about trying to figure it out on our own. As a child knows that their daddy will catch them if they jump, we must believe that our Abba Father will catch us if we jump. So jump. Jump with abandon, with trust, with joy, with laughter, and with childlike confidence. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Katie, and I've had the incredible privilege of working with the Young Families Program under Central Alberta Youth Unlimited. And I am deeply grateful for the way this church has welcomed young moms from our community for the past 14 years, guys. We've been doing that for 14 years, and I think that's so incredible. Week after week, so many have walked through these doors and encountered Jesus through the hands and feet of our volunteers, mentors, and those who faithfully prepare breakfast for us. This past August, you may have noticed a little fundraiser, and you may get sick of all these crazy CAYU fundraisers, but that's how we live. We fundraise. A candle fundraiser, and it was called Spread a Little Light, and there were some wonderful ladies that did that for me. They were selling candles on behalf of me, and these are candles I pour myself, with all proceeds going to the Young Families Program. But I love candles because of what they represent. A single flame can pierce the darkness, bringing warmth and light. But what I love even more is what happens when one candle lights another, and then another, and then another. And that is the story of what this ministry is, this Young Families ministry. Let me share just a quick story that beautifully illustrates this. Last year, we hosted a small carnival in the park to meet new moms in our community. That same day, one young mom, without knowing anything about the event, decided to change her usual walking route with her baby and happened to pass through the park. We greeted her and invited her to join us. She spent a few minutes chatting, she took home some information, and then she left. 2 weeks later, she walked through the doors of the program for the first time. She was trembling, she was nervous, and she was unsure of what to expect. That's a really bold and courageous move. But she came. And it didn't take long for her to feel seen, welcomed, and part of this loving community. This young mom didn't have a faith background and had never really actually heard about Jesus. But week after week, she kept coming. As she began to trust us, she started sharing more of her story. She was in a very dark place, struggling with depression and a deep sense of hopelessness. Over time, her countenance began to change. She started asking questions about God, wondering what it was that made this place feel different. She connected with one of our mentors and began counseling with one of the therapists on our team. One day, she brought me a painting she had created. In the picture, she was a small lamb, finally finding her shepherd. With tears in her eyes, she told me how thankful she was for the Young Families Program because it was here she found hope in a time of deep darkness, and ultimately she met her Savior. Fast forward to today, this young woman is still part of our community. She has found belonging, healing, and purpose. Each week, she and I meet for discipleship, walking together through the book of John as she continues to grow in her faith. It is an absolute joy to witness how God is at work in the lives of young families in our community. Just like one candle lighting another, his light spreads one heart at a time. If you'd like to hear more about this ministry or find out how you can be a part of it, please check the box on the card on your seat. I would love to talk to you. We are very short on mentors this year, and I just love to fill the room with Christian women to really influence these young families. So Thank you so much for being a church that shines the light.
We really do love what we get to do and what we get to be a part of, and we love that it matters to you. It means a lot to us that it matters to you. Partnership in the gospel means pulling in the same direction. I'm challenged by the narrative of the rope. That's why I brought this very large tug-of-war rope to church today. And if you think about all of the threads that intertwine together to make this, it's what makes it so strong. And this is a hardy rope. This is a pretty hefty rope. All these strands woven together so that when we pull in opposite directions, they don't snap and they don't break. It's a distinct contrast that I hope we can draw on this morning. It's a contrast between the rope and the net. This net is not nearly as hardy, and certainly it couldn't sustain the same weight load that this rope could, but the picture of a net is different. It diversifies the weight across a load, and it spreads it out so that it's not all sustained in just one succinct spot. Oh, I got a little ahead of myself. And the idea is that when we pull in the same direction, when we pull together, when we pull on the net, we lean into that kingdom of God here on earth. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And our passage today, Luke chapter 5, highlights a story that portrays a pulling together. And it really beautifully highlights partnership. It's been stirring up in me as I've been sitting with it over these past weeks, and I just want to break down a few of the verses. Let's begin with Luke 5, verse 4. And thank you to Greg for reading it for us today. But Luke chapter 5, verse 4 says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" Now, I'm not going to get into fisherman logic, because if I'm real honest, I'm not a fisherman. For those of you who are, I apologize if that lowers your view of me. I think it would be fun to fish. I just haven't put the time and energy and effort into doing it. And so maybe invite me along and I could learn. But I don't understand all the fish logic, but I do know that there's a lot about deep water and the time of day and the right timing and where the fish are biting and where you can throw your net and all that kind of stuff. I just don't understand it all at the same level as some of you would. But I do know that Peter doesn't love the idea. He gives us enough of a clue that he's not real eager. And he admits that. In verse 5, it says, "Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.'" Man, I love this. Many times, I have felt this in my own life when I actually have not understood God's plans or his purposes. I'm like, I don't know if I like this idea. I'm not sure that this is our best plan. And Peter seems to be expressing, we're tired. It doesn't sound like the best fishing idea, but fortunately, Peter doesn't stop there. He doesn't yet know what's coming, but he responds in a way that is so powerful. I want to answer like Peter does. He sets aside his thoughts, his fatigue, his personal desire, and he responds with powerful words, "But because you say so." I hope that each of us here today are able to hear where in this world Jesus is asking us to let down our nets. Because there's an invitation for us today in Luke chapter 5. And the invitation is to go deeper with Jesus. To go deeper where Jesus is leading us. And I don't know where your deep water is. But I do know that God is really good at calling us to go to the deep places. Jesus often calls us beyond what's comfortable. into deeper trust, into deeper commitment, into deeper unity. And he invites us to a place of obedience and a place of faith where it's beyond us. Sometimes, like Peter, it is a time, it is a place, it is a moment we don't want to go to. We'd prefer not to. We're tired, or we've tried that. And other times, it might just simply be a place or a people or a purpose that we've never considered. That was me back in 2003 when I had never even thought. The idea of working with youth had never even crossed my mind. It wasn't that I didn't want to, just didn't even think about it. You see, as a fisherman, Peter knew the deep water. He was certainly comfortable in the deep water, but he couldn't have known what he was getting into this day. And we can't miss it because the miracle happens in the deep. And it happens in the obedience. Look at verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And in one sense, we can celebrate this. Wow, look at all this. But think about the complexity of this. Inside of this miracle is actually a whole new problem. It's not all good news. It is certainly good news, and it is a good problem. They have so many fish that it's overwhelming their capacity. Have you noticed in your life that obedience to God is actually meant to be a continual journey of surrendering to His control? And Peter's just getting a taste of this in this moment. Go out into the deep. Okay, because you say so. But Jesus didn't warn him, just a heads up, when you get out there, you're going to catch so many fish, it's going to be overwhelming for you. But he allows this moment to be a teachable moment for Peter and thereby for us today. And in verse 7 it says, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Yet again, another problem. A good problem in a sense, but a problem and a challenge and another place of total dependence. But look what happens. It says they draw close. They came near. This is an important illustration for us today. We need this kind of mindset. As followers of Jesus, we need to get really good at this. We need to draw closer to Christ and to one another. So yes, we need to go deeper. We need to go to the deep water where he calls us to go to. But then we need to draw closer, first to Christ and then to each other. I don't know how you've pictured this scene. But when I think about this, and it could be that I've, over my lifetime, mixed in other passages where Jesus is on the beach and the disciples are out on the water. I'm not sure why, but for some reason, in my mind, I picture Jesus on the beach. I don't picture him in the boat. And I had to reread this a few times to get into it, and I realized this is how the scene unfolds. Jesus begins by standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee. He begins standing there. And then he gets into Simon's boat, and he asks him to push out a little from shore so that he can teach the crowd from the boat. And after teaching, Jesus tells Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Nowhere does it say, I'm going to get out, you take off. You go do your thing. Nowhere does it say that Jesus got out of the boat. It says that Peter obeys and the miraculous catch happens while Jesus is still in the boat with him. Jesus wasn't shouting instructions from the shore. He was in the boat, showing that true partnership starts when we invite him into what we're doing, and he invites us into what he's calling us into. I cannot help but pause here and acknowledge that the most important part of your story and my story and Peter's story is Jesus. Where is Jesus? Is he in the boat with you? Have you surrendered your life? Have you surrendered your plans? Have you surrendered your will to Jesus? Lots of people watched Jesus and Peter catch a load of fish. I happen to think that people would have stuck around to see what was happening. And you can spend your whole life watching Jesus. But the most important question that you need to ask yourself, am I willing to let Jesus into my boat? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because when Jesus steps into the boat, it changes everything. It changes the direction of your life. It shifts from survival to purpose. And you stop striving alone and you start living in partnership with the one who knows where the deep water is and knows where the fish are and knows what you need in each moment. When it came to catching fish, in this situation, the fishermen couldn't pull the catch in from a distance. There could have been 100 boats out there, but they had to come close to be of any help at all. They had to come near, and that's what partnership is. That's the drawing close, first to Christ and then to one another. Partnership means relationship. We can't do ministry from afar, and that's why this church sends people to Bolivia to go and to meet with them and to build a relationship with them and to be present with them. It's why this week they went to Nipawin to meet with Noah and Naomi to learn about their ministry with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission. Partnership is what Life 360 has been since we started together here in 2015. It is bringing our boats close together to catch fish. Notice the passage doesn't describe how they got the fish into the boats. I tried to imagine it. I want you to picture for a moment. What would that scene have been like? I know if I was there, it would have been a little extra crazy, probably a little louder than it needed to be. I've warned some people that in crisis, I'm probably not your guy because I just get a little frenetic and a little frantic. I'm not the one who boils it down and takes it step by step. I need clear, methodical instructions, and that's not what you do in crisis. But I picture it to have been a little frantic. A lot of yelling and banter and pull the ropes and bring in the net and watch out, don't lose those fish. Wait, the nets are breaking. Stop, the boats are sinking. I'm sure they didn't argue over whose fish they were or what they were going to do. They pulled together. They hauled in the nets. They brought in those fish with one common goal. Let's get those fish on the land. They pulled together for the catch. Jesus provides the catch. He's the one who does that. But he invites Peter and he invites the other fishermen and these disciples to work. He invites us to do the same. And pulling on the net takes teamwork. It takes a shared mission. And it's hard work, but it's holy work. And when we pull together, the boats can overflow. And there are a lot of young people. There are a lot of young people who need us to get on those nets. They need us to pull together. You might not realize this, but this church has financially partnered with the Ministry of Youth Unlimited, with Katie and I, in some capacity since 2007. It's an incredible blessing. Some of you might not have even lived in Ponoka back then. But you have shown what it looks like to bring your boats close. And as a result, dozens of youth every week are finding belonging and finding hope and the love of Jesus. And many young moms and their children are finding that here as well. That is being on mission together. Our newly drafted FBC values include the value of outreach. And it says, we follow Christ's calling to reach the spiritually lost and are committed to serving the people in the surrounding community and beyond. This is us working together to fill the boat. Now, all over the room are these response cards that Katie highlighted. We require nothing of you, but invite you. If God is prompting you to go to deeper water, to pull in the nets with us, then let us know. You can fill those cards and drop it at the table at the back. You also can come and grab a cookie or a puff wheat square or something like that at that table. Compliments of Katie and Shanoa. And so feel free to stop by there. We'd love for you to do that. But on those response cards, if God is prompting you in some way today, then please fill those out and let us know. But I realize that for some, the motivation that God will place on your heart or your mind today may have nothing to do with youth, and it may have nothing to do with Youth Unlimited, and that is okay. The invitation is up to Jesus. The same God that called Peter to go to deeper water calls each of us to put out into the deep. Is Jesus calling you to surrender to him? I want to encourage you today at the table at the back as well. We've got chunks of fishing net. Might look like a little bit of string, might not seem like much, but I'll encourage you, take a piece of fishing net home as a tangible, as a reminder of the faith and obedience of Peter. The same God who called Peter out of the deep calls us today to go deeper, to draw closer, and to pull together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, it is so good that you get in the boat. It is so good that you know the right water to paddle out into. It is so good that you are faithful, that you see us in our circumstances, that you see what we need. You see the things we could never know. And it is so good that you grant us the faith and the obedience to follow you, because oh, how we need you. We need your help to be able to respond, to listen when you call us to the deeper water. We need your help to draw closer together as a body in unity. We need your help to serve together, to do the outreach work that's taking place in this church. And not just through Life 360 and through Young Families, but in so many different ways. We need your help to lead us to the point of surrender where we'll give up our lives for you, the way that you gave up your life for us, that we would surrender our lives, accept you as the Lord of our life. We need you to call us, to convict us, to forgive us, and to restore us into a right relationship with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.